Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Those of you who have gone through the trouble of ever having to buy a car from an individual or a dealer know it's quite a hassle, and some people make it out a lot better than other people. You know that there is as much playing the other person as there is playing the facts of the matter about the vehicle itself. It's like a poker game, really, more than it is about a trade in money and goods. But you know that if you've been in the position of buying a car, you have little bits of leverage that you can pick up on if you know where to find them and how to use them. If you find a car that has over 100,000 miles on it, well, you should be able to get it for a little cheaper than one that has 98,000 miles. If you find a car that has on its record that it has been in an accident, well, there's some more leverage. You should be able to get him to drop the price a little more, even if he tells you he's already dropped the price for that. And if you find a car that on its Carfax sheet, on whatever website you choose to go to, says part of a fleet, that's another bit of leverage that you have. You see, we've all seen that before, and when we bought our van, I found out this whole process. You see something that says part of a fleet. Well, that means that it was owned either by a business that had a bunch of these things or by a rental agency, like Enterprise or something. And that drops the price a little bit because it didn't belong to one person that had a sense of ownership with this car. We all know from personal experience when something belongs to you and your money, your time, your sweat equity is invested in that thing, you are a little more invested in it being taken care of. For those of you men who have ever loaned out a chainsaw or something, or any sort of tool really, your worry is that it's not going to be returned to you in quite the same condition that you loaned it out, so you say, bring it back just the way you found it. But when you use it yourself, you take care of it, you oil it, you sharpen the blade, you do all of the things because you want to make sure that thing lasts for a while. We all know that whether or not you own something, even in a community like ours where you know the people pretty well you loan it to, whether or not you own something affects how you treat it, affects what you do with that thing. Now, on a good day, shepherding, taking care of sheep is no walk in the park. It's a little easier now, I think, than it was 2,000 years ago, but it's still not a glamorous job to have, not a cushy job and a nice office with air conditioning, no. You don't have plots of land that belong to one farmer or another farmer, and so you always generally know what your sheep are going to be getting themselves into, but rather you are outside of the towns and the villages as a shepherd, wandering around with your sheep, trying to find places for them to eat, trying to find sources of water for them to drink from. On top of that, as a shepherd, on a normal day, you have the weather to contend with, good or bad. No barns, no big machine sheds with an open door to get all the sheep to go in. Nope, you are out there with them, and at best you can hope maybe for a tree to provide some shelter from the weather. Of course, there's also the isolation from other humans. Maybe you interact with other shepherds, but they're tending to their flocks or the other parts of your flock. It's a lonely job. And then there's also the dishonor. It is not the greatest of jobs and nobility to have, even though you have kings like David in the past having these jobs. Being a shepherd isn't exactly winning the lottery. Those are the good days. Those are the normal days. But the bad days of being a shepherd, as we heard alluded to in our gospel lesson, those are far worse than the good days. It's not just the discomfort of being a shepherd, the dishonor of being a shepherd that you have in the normal days, but there is the danger, the physical harm that might come to you if you are a shepherd. You're taking care of a bunch of animals, a bunch of animals that are kind of like lemmings and cannot do anything to fend for themselves, to say nothing of defend themselves. And then you have, on those bad days, predators that come in to seek to snatch what they see as open target of prey. And for wolves in particular, many cases, it's not just to eat because they're hungry, but there are cases, of course, where wolves go and they find a group of livestock and they kill until they're all dead just because they can't stand to see them alive, not even eating anything for themselves. Those are the bad days of being a shepherd. And when those days happen, for someone who is a shepherd, especially back then out in the open land, then all is revealed. Hearts are laid bare. It's a moment of truth for the shepherd in those moments that the wolf appears to devour the flock, and you find out exactly what he thinks of those sheep. You find out exactly his relationship to those sheep when the very real possibility of harm or death comes to him. The hireling, the person that's just hired to do the job, has no real connection to the sheep or really even the family that the sheep belong to. He bolts, absolutely. He is out of there before you can say Jack Robinson, because he has no deep invested interest in these sheep. It's just a minimum wage job to him, if even that. And when he bolts, we know the next part of the story. There's nothing standing between those sheep and the wolf that would devour, and the wolf comes in. He does devour. He kills, maims, and scatters the sheep as long as he pleases, without any repercussions whatsoever. What can sheep do in that situation against such reckless hate? They can do absolutely nothing, unless, of course, their shepherd is not a hireling, but a good shepherd. A good shepherd is loyal to his flock. A good shepherd takes good care of his flock, doesn't just simply view it as something he has to do, a 9-to-5 and gets off and then is done. He doesn't do it merely for the money that he might make in the future at the market or the wool or whatever, but he does it as a good shepherd because those sheep are his. They belong to him. They are part of who he is. His whole purpose in life is to be the shepherd of those sheep, of his flock. And so whenever there is danger that appears on the horizon in whatever form, he doesn't run away from the danger, but runs towards it. He springs into action, seeing the threat to his flock, and he goes for the danger to stop the danger and to kill the danger. Think about King David. You remember the story well of him killing Goliath with the stone from his sling? What was his resume for that moment? He himself was the forgotten one of Jesse's sons, off with the sheep. When prophet Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, they didn't even think to call David. He's off with the sheep, not just feeding them and watering them, but protecting them. With that same sling and those little pebbles, he warded off lions and all sorts of other threats, keeping safe his father's flock, the flock of his family. He fought for those sheep. He defended those sheep. And dear friends, David's son, Jesus Christ, that is precisely what he does too. We know that Jesus is the good shepherd, not just because of the words that he says, not just because he says the right thing and says, I'm the good shepherd, and just leaves it at that. No, we know that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd because of what he did, because of what he does in actuality, in physical, visible reality for his sheep. We know Jesus is the good shepherd because of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, because he went to death on the cross and rose again for his sheep. It wasn't just the assurance of his devotion and love for us with empty platitudes and words, but real, true devotion that when the wolf of sin and death was over the horizon coming at his flock to devour, scatter, and destroy, Jesus went and met the wolf and laid down his life in the process because he is good. He laid down his life to preserve his flock. And he did not do it because we, his flock, are just such wonderful sheep. Because our wool is lighter or fluffier than any other flocks, Not because we are good outside or in, but because he is good. And because we are his. He's the good shepherd and we belong to him. And so for this reason, as Christians, every day of our life, we can trust our good shepherd. We can trust Jesus and all that he says and does and gives to us in his word. We can follow him wherever he leads, even when in our minds it might not mesh, it might be kind of confusing, it might go very hard against the grain of a society that says, go the other way, no matter. We know what our good shepherd has done for us in our eternal salvation, so we can trust him and follow him. And we can rest assured that the dangers that face us, the proverbial wolves, if you will, the little ones in our life as individuals, the stresses, worries, and concerns that we have, or even the biggest wolf itself of death and judgment, it doesn't matter. He's taken care of them. As our good shepherd, he has destroyed the big one, and to whatever measure is good for us in our eternal salvation, he takes care of the little ones in turn. And we can trust him, and we can also trust him in this. We can trust him for hope for tomorrow and all of the tomorrows that exist in our lives. You or I do not know what tomorrow is going to hold in any sense, but it really doesn't matter in a sense because we have the Good Shepherd and we know that having done the biggest thing for us on Good Friday and Easter, it doesn't matter what comes tomorrow because it's inside of his will, power, and plan to help us and take care of us. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, has destroyed the wolf for you. You are his, and he is yours. Trust him and praise him always, and set your hope and confidence on him, and in that hope and confidence, rest assured now and forever. To him be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.